You are listening to the BC Lions Den Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
First of all, I love what Rick is going to do here and what Ed is doing. I want coaches to stand in line to come into this league. I want this to be the best football league in the world to coach in, not just because the game is great, but you know the professionalism and the way we treat them.
It's our pleasure now to sit down with CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi, who is about to address a full room of Lions season ticket holders here at the BC Lions practice facility in Surrey as part of his annual off-season tour across the country. Randy, thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Once again, you've been working your way across the country on your annual Randy's Road Trip, talking to CFL fans from coast to coast. What's been the biggest thing you've heard from fans so far on your tour?
Yeah, you know, interestingly, we've been talking about this playoff idea, so there's been lots of good and healthy exchange on both sides of the issue. But you know, really, I think most of the fans are centered now on let's grow this league, let's make it bigger and stronger. I think the 2.0 seems to have settled. Like, I think people have a much better understanding of it today, which is good. But I think for the most part, the fans have been just focused on, okay, where do we go from here? Because the fans love it, and they want to see us bigger and stronger.
You talked about CFL 2.0. That was front and center last year. What have you seen there as far as growth of the project? And what do you think you've learned after one year that you can take CFL 2.0 to the next level?
Yeah, you know, I'd say I think we learned that it was smart to take that first initial step, not wait to get it perfect. But that first step... We ended up having a few players that really distinguished themselves. And one in particular, Hansen in Winnipeg, he was a player. What we learned from is that we needed to do more scouting, more pre-scouting, more regional combines. So you probably know we will have done, by the time this winter's over, we'll have done somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 scouting combines on four different continents. Wow. And so the level of talent, our expectation is that the level of talent that'll come to our global combine in Toronto will be much deeper level of talent, and from a far bigger number of countries. So Japan, for example, we know, talking to our partners in Mexico, they're expecting a really strong group this year. So we think that was really positive.
How long do you think it'll be before we see a CFL game maybe played on in Mexico or Germany? Yeah. or a place like that?
You know, it's a great question. In fact, it came up earlier today, and I was saying that when our guys went to do the scouting combine in Paris, the French Federation actually took them around and showed them some potential stadiums for a game. So I'd say, the French Federation, the leadership there is just spectacular. And they are so engaged with us as a partner. I'm actually going when they are in Toronto for the scouting combine. The head of the French Federation and I are actually heading over to meet their consul general in Toronto and really kind of talk about our mutual ambitions.
Now, I've heard you say that with this new alliance that you've built for CFL 2.0, you have over 800 million people in those countries. Does that include like TV? Will they be able to watch CFL games in these countries?
Yeah, so there's a project that's underway right now where, we've been working on a strategy to see, phase one is just get us on TV, get us in some medium so that a fan in all of these 14 countries, when they've got a player, can watch them play. That was our phase one plan. It actually turned out we were able to do some monetizing of TV last year in Mexico. We expect we'll do some monetizing of TV there again. But phase one is all about getting eyeballs onto our game, and then phase two has started to start moving towards a monetized model. But we're very excited. But yeah, you got to get people a chance to see these young men who will come and play our great league. Give them a chance to watch the games.
Bob Medill, a listener of our show, would like to know if the league, in collaboration with the Players Association, can find a way to keep players on teams longer. He feels like a constant shuffling of the deck due to all the one-year contracts and free agency is preventing fans from forming relationships with their team.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree with him. In fact, something I've been talking about now as I've crossed the country is that, you know, this is an opportunity to redefine our relationship with the players. And you probably know that players just elected a new president to lead them. And I've been suggesting that it's really time to sit down and to frame a different relationship, a real growth strategy relationship with the players, where the players can benefit as we grow this game. The players can benefit from that success, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. And part of it is to sit down with a list of things that we could do together to stabilize our game, to create deeper fan relationships with our players. I'm excited to sit down with the players and really talk about building a strategy together that will ultimately make the league bigger and stronger, and one where the players can benefit in that success. And, you know, I'd like to see our coaches have a similar program where they benefit from the success. And I'd like to bring our alumni into this as well, because some of the game's greatest stars are out there. And I think if we embrace them with a totally different approach, I think we can move mountains.
With the CBA negotiations last year, CFL week was postponed, and it doesn't appear to be returning this year. Is that something the league is shelved for now, or could we see it return in the future?
It's not shelved. It's just, we 2019 was a very interesting year. I'm going to frame that in quotes. Obviously, CBA negotiations dominated the first half, but the situation in Montreal, basically dominated the entire year. And frankly, we were just, as far as resources were concerned, we just simply didn't have the time to really extend the idea of doing some planning for CFL week in 2020. So we said, look, let's we've got some big ideas and projects that we want to launch, notably, sitting down with the players, the coaches, and our alumni, and building a relationship with them that's different than anything we've seen before. That's one of my biggest priorities. Getting this global thing kicked up to the next level, that's a big priority. But I think we will come back to CFL week at some point, but we've got to be a disciplined league around doing the things that have the greatest opportunity to move the needle the most. And I think I would suggest that the things that we're prioritizing today are the right things for us to do.
What kind of feedback have you had regarding the football operations cap that was implemented last year? Are there any plans to adjust that at all in an effort to keep and attract good coaches in Canada?
Well, in fact, as I just said, in fact, I met with Rick Lalisher and Ed Hervey, Rick Campbell, and his whole coaching staff today, and we were talking about this, and I was sharing with them that, I would like to build a program for them that as we grow this league, the coaches can all do, they can all participate in our success. And it was a tremendous conversation, look, it's on my radar. I think we should, first of all, I love what Rick is going to do here and what Ed is doing. I want coaches to stand in line to come into this league. I want this to be the best football league in the world to coach in. Not just because the game is great, but the professionalism in the way we treat them, and that there's an opportunity for them to look after their families as well. So, there was a scarcity of detail, but certainly what I tried to impress on them is my deep desire to create a different kind of future for the whole league, and for them and their families as well, and that would be part of a total package of compensation that our coaches and football operations partners would participate in.
Some players were surprised to find out that they couldn't work out for an NFL team this offseason after a clause in this current CBA was not signed off on by the NFL, if I'm correct, who do not want players' rights reverting back to their CFL team if they're currently under contract, while CFL GMs obviously want to retain the rights to their players. Are there any updates on that situation?
Yeah, no. I mean, look, it largely sits today with the NFL and the NFLPA. And look, we just want to be good partners to the PA on this exercise. And I think we are trying to do that. I'm always careful to point out, I don't think we're perfect, and there's always room to improve that relationship. But I think the basic understanding of what we want to do together is there. But you know, we still have to, the hallmark of what we're going to do going forward is going to be written on our ability to communicate with each other and think differently about our relationship than we might have in the past.
One of the hot topics on your tour this year has been a potential change to the playoff format, where the top two teams and the next best four teams would qualify for the postseason. What's been the reaction to that, and what are the chances we see that in place for this season?
It's been the funnest thing. I mean, of all the conversations I've had in the eight stops so far, it's been a lot of fun to talk about it. And I just love how passionate our fans can be. I'd say once we polished off the decision day, which I would say was maybe not polished off, but almost lopped off, people really didn't like that idea of a Sunday, made-for-TV show featuring one coach deciding who they wanted to pick as an opponent. I mean, I think I can say, starting in Ottawa and all the way out here to Vancouver, that was largely dismissed. But the general concept, there's been lots of support for. But, you know, the important point is that we wrote a report for the governors that detailed a lot of analysis on how things, what the pros and the cons, and how it might have, you know, how we actually did a 20-year look back, how it would have affected the playoffs over the past 20 years, who would have gotten a home game, who wouldn't have gotten a home game. Some analysis on the relative value of the East and West Conference hosts, which we know they disproportionately win the East and West Championship. So we did all of that, and now we're going to take this whole package of information, including a summary of the fan feedback, and we're going to put it on the laps of our governors. And, you know, I feel really encouraged to share with them the totality of this. And then I trust that the governors will make a wise and prudent choice. And quite honestly, it's not like it's been unanimously supported. I think the big win in this is that we are the People's League, and talking to the people about things we're thinking about is something we should make an annual ritual, because I think it enriches us.
Do you find that there's a difference between the old school fans who want to keep it the way it is and the newer, younger fans that want to change it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had some fun. We were talking about the issue of change management and change in general, and I was teasing them. I was teasing them in Ottawa about, you know, are you a shopper who goes into the grocery store and always shops the same way? Like, you start here and you end there and you go down certain aisles. And I said, by comparison, are you somebody that never goes to the same restaurant twice? And we had so much fun kibitzing with each other about which of those two groups we might be in. And not surprisingly, the group that described themselves as the "I go to the same restaurant all the time," or "I shop the same way," or "I drive to work in the same lane every day," they weren't so anxious to embrace the change. But the good news is we had a lot of fun talking about it. But you're right, you know, there's a segment. I'm a traditionalist. I think the East and West, I've loved it since I was a kid. I mean, my Grey Cup pool tickets that we sold to raise money for our sports teams, and watching didn't matter who was representing the West, we were cheering against those scoundrels from the East. And so I myself am more traditional, but boy, it's been fun to talk about.
Listener Chris Keene would like to know, and I'm guessing that you've probably been asked this on your tour across the country, but is the CFL putting any consideration into a camera and a mic in the video replay booth? It's similar to what the XFL has done. As a fan, more transparency would be great to see. Now, I think it works a little bit differently in the CFL. You have a command center versus somebody in stadium, if I'm correct. Yeah. So, you know, is that something the league is considering to change a little bit to get the fans more involved in those decisions?
Yeah, we talked about it at the last governor's meeting, and there is an investigation. You know, the part of the challenge is, it's not like the command center is some palatial suite that is just, you know, going to just rock on TV. It's a rather cramped room with just a bunch of TV monitors and a lot, and you know, and the space is tight. So, you know, we're talking about what that might, we actually asked TSN kind of how they might help us if we wanted to do it. So we are looking at it, you know, where it takes us, I'm not entirely sure, but you're right. It's not like we're doing it in the stadiums. We're doing it in one site at the league office. So it's a work being studied. It's being studied.
I think it'd be really neat to have it on the actual video screen in the stadium, because a lot of people that I've talked to say they don't go to games anymore because they get more information on TV.
Well, interestingly enough, and you know, TSN strategy for the command center has been to go to a commercial break. So piping it into the stadium would, in all likelihood, be a distinct advantage to the home field fans who could actually see it, whereas the folks on TV would be on a commercial break.
Pinball Clemens brought up an issue earlier this offseason, and I think it really applies to Vancouver as well, and that's the challenges that the high cost of living in Toronto presents to the Argos when recruiting players. Vancouver, I think, is in the same boat there. Have you talked to him about that and what kind of things that could be done to help all those teams, particularly when it comes to finding housing for players?
Yeah. You know, I haven't spoken to Mike specifically about this, but it is something that I think we should talk about as a league. I actually sit on another board that has just recently been going through a similar analysis of, you know, the disparity of cost of living in Canadian cities. So, you know, again, haven't talked to Mike about it, but I'm aware of the issue, and I think it is something. Like, one of the things that I'm trying to encourage, and I feel like I'm well supported by this by the rest of the governors, is, let's not be afraid to talk about issues that might have an effect on us. And if we can bring in other sources of information, there's all kinds of industries that have this analysis, and maybe there is a way to make adjustments. But I think it starts by sitting down and starting the conversation.
It's no secret that the BC Lions have seen declining attendance. David Braley is ready to sell the team to the right buyer, and I assume the right price. We know Mr. Braley is passionate about this team. He's passionate about the CFL, and without him, who knows what state the BC Lions would be in today, if they would even be here at all. Is the league involved in the sale of the Lions at this point, and do you think there's a chance something can get done before this season starts?
Well, I can tell you that I've spent a lot of time, a fair bit of time, I guess, with Mr. Braley over the past few months, and talking a lot, just talking about football and David's love of the game. Both David and Rick have encouraged and welcomed me into the process, and you know, I think at this point I've met with all the groups who have expressed an interest and continue to talk with them at Rick's Lawlisher's request. You know, whether or not it can get done before the season, I'll tell you, Mr. Braley, David has got every intention of transitioning this team to a new owner when he thinks he's got the right owner. And again, you know, David's a smart guy and a good businessman. But frankly, you know, David wants to do it right. He doesn't want to do it fast. And he's just been such a remarkable person for this league. I agree. I'm not sure we're sitting here if it wasn't for David Braley. And I want to show David the respect that he's due. In the meantime, what David has asked Rick and he's asked me is, let's get this thing heading in the right direction. So we have very specific, I have a personal commitment to David because I have an enormous respect for him. A personal commitment to David to do everything I can to help Rick. And Rick, I know, has got a fundamental commitment to David to get this thing cooking again. And today being at the announcement of the new coaching staff, obviously Rick Campbell, who I know well, talking with Ed Hervey and some of the business operations people there. I think this team has made a lot of the right moves to set themselves up for a really strong 2020.
Andy, I know you have to get downstairs here to speak with some Lions season ticket holders. Thanks for this chance to sit down with you. It's always a pleasure. Keep up the great work with this league and all the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.